How many of you have ever had a collection of something where you collected coins or things or something? Now, how many of you have those collections just thrown in someplace and just you don't take care of them? Most of the time when you have a collection of something, you display it or it's safe or you care for it. Or how many of you have ever been given something that's really rare? And really special. Somebody ever gave you something? So it's not something, I'm sure with those things, you just don't throw it in a drawer. Somebody might, but you just don't throw it in a drawer. You care for it. And you care. And so today we're going to talk a little bit about stewardship. And basically stewardship is just caring for things. And we're going to focus on three main areas of stewardship. And that is in the area of relationships, how we steward our relationships, the area of our words, and the area of stuff. Now, last week, for those who were here, we heard an excellent message by Dave Isley. And thank you, Dave. And do you remember what Dave said? The one thing that we can control when we come into your service? Our heart, our whole attitude, our self. And so the big thing with stewardship and everything we're going to talk about, it really all goes back to a heart issue. It all goes back to ourself. There's a scripture, if I can get it pop up there. It says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And so this is true in all areas of not just worship and praise and coming here, but it's stewardship. It all goes back to our heart and what's going on there. Have you ever invested in anything? Like a CD or stocks or something? When you're going to invest in something, what do you usually look for? Is it good investment? Is it safe? And there's things that I'm sure several of you have heard. There's ways that they measure our economy, what's going on in the economy, the economic indicators. You ever heard of those? Economic indicators. And some of them are like the gross domestic product. If you don't know these, don't worry about it because I didn't know some of them, what they were. Consumer price index, consumer confidence survey, unemployment, housing starts, and the S&P 500. These are just things that help show a little bit of what's going to happen with any unforeseen things happening in the economy. There's a Christian investment organization called Sound Mind Investing, and they have this formula they use. I went through once and looked at it, but I don't remember what all it was. But there's this formula they use that they try to predict momentum in an investment and what's the momentum of that investment and when you should get in, when you should get out. You know, God has given us economic indicators in our life. And he's given us ways to know what is the momentum of what we're investing our life in. And it's found in the scriptures. When we get in the scriptures, he shows us. And there's things in there that's not as complicated as trying to figure out what the gross domestic product is or some of those. You don't have to survey everybody or big sample survey of the United States. You can look in the Word and the Holy Spirit can show you what those are. And one of them, to begin with, when we talk about relationships, God made it very clear just what's going on, what should be happening in relationships. And he started off, I got pointed the right way. It's in Matthew 22, and it says in the first one, there we go. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. It says all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So when it comes to stewardship of relationships, those are the top two relationships. And it comes down to we spent the whole summer talking about what love is and loving God and loving one another. But it's not just in saying it, but it's actually doing it. In the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, God would confront the people. He'd say, you know, you come here and to gathering. They had gatherings back then. You said you come and you're here, and you say things and you go through motions, but your heart isn't here. So you honor me with your lips, but your heart isn't here. And the book of James, James talked about faith. The book of James chapter 2, and he talked about faith, and he said, you say you have faith, but what's going on in your life to show that? And he said that basically that faith without deeds is dead. So we say, I love God, but if there's nothing going on in our life, do we really love God? Same thing with people. I love people, but if there's nothing going on, if we're not doing anything, what do we really love them? We could say that love without deeds is dead. And so it's not just in our words, it's also in our actions. How many of you, there's several surveys have been done as far as what are the ingredients of a healthy relationship. What would you say? What are some things if you were going to say this would represent a healthy relationship? What should be in that healthy relationship? Trust. Honesty. Respect. Mercy. You actually, those first three things you said, those are actually the top ones. And there's several, some of them list several, but almost every single one of them have respect, honesty, and trust in them. Almost every one of them. And God's word helps teach us about what's best, and not just for now, but for eternity. There's a scripture that some helps us with as far as stewarding our relationships, and it's found in Ephesians chapter 4. It says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So when we look at economic indicators in our relationships, one thing to look at, and when I'm talking relationships, is, you know, it's easy to love somebody when you only see them for about 60 seconds. Or maybe even for 1 hour and 15 minutes. Or even maybe in a small group. But when you're with somebody quite a bit, things happen. You know, you're learning. You get to mold and become the imitator of Christ. That's the reality. It's like we really digs down deep into the core of us being changed in the Christ likeness. So the first one, kindness. So we're going to go back and we look at loving and stewarding a relationship. Am I being kind to those around me? And if not, let me go back to the first verse. Why not? There's something going on in my heart. What is happening in my heart? And it's asking God. You know, God, he'll answer us. Say, God, what is going on here? Why am I not being kind? Why is this happening? Remember, kindness is part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So it's like, what, Lord, what is blocking this in my life? What do I need to happen here? The next one is compassion. You know, compassion is just, you know, just several times you look in the scriptures, said Jesus had compassion on the crowd and he did something. And so there was an action there. So is there compassion there? And Lord, if there's not compassion, what is happening? You know, I firmly believe why God put those, the greatest commandments in that order, God and people, is because if there's something going on down here with people, we need to go up to the next rung on the ladder. Say, God, what is going on up here? I need you. I need you to touch my heart. Lord, is there something wrong here? You know, is there something happened? What, that's blocking or that's damming up this flow? You know, what's happening there? And one of the keys in this verse to help us stay on the path of kindness and compassion is being a forgiving person. Because you want something that will block that right now is when you start having unforgiveness. You know, these things don't happen just like that. It's not like, you know, 30 seconds later you're not kindness, you don't have any compassion. It's usually a gradual thing that happens. There's a gradual, and we've talked about it in here before, the hardening of the heart. It doesn't happen just like that. It usually is a gradual thing. And so forgiveness is one of the key things to help our heart stay soft and pliable before God. You know the scripture in Matthew chapter 6 where Jesus taught his disciples to pray. And he said, basically, our Father, Matthew 6, 9 is where it starts. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. The reason that's there is because the reason it starts is because it's giving us perspective of what's really going on here. Perspective of, this is not all about me. God, this is you, and you're the answer, and it's your kingdom, and what am I reflect? So it's not just what I'm doing and what I'm connected to, but it's whom I'm connected to. whom I'm a part of. What am I allowing him? And it's my life aligning up to what you, so it's perspective. And then he goes to the four things he in this prayer, he says is give, forgive, lead, and deliver. Those are the four things. But out of those four things, that prayer, one of them has a condition, and that's forgive. He says, forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. That's a pretty big condition. Now, I'm not going to get in a big theological thing here. I believe we have faith and we're forgiven by our faith in Jesus Christ, not by works. But you're not going to experience that forgiveness. You're not going to walk in the fullness of understanding that if you're harboring unforgiveness in your own life. Does that make sense? You understand what I'm saying? And it's interesting, out of those four things, give and deliver and lead and forgive, only one of them, he came back right at the end and said it again. He said, because if you don't forgive, he said, if you don't forgive, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. There's something about, you know, he put that bar up there and said, you got to deal with this. And if we're not dealing with it, what we have to do is say, God, help me. It's not like there's not an answer to this. You know, if we're having trouble forgiving somebody, that's human nature. You know, we got to admit, oh, I'm human. Lord, I need you to help me forgive. God, help me to forgive. That's a prayer I pray for all of us all the time. Help us to be a forgiving people. Help my family. Help me to be a forgiving person, because that is a key to flowing in life. And we all will give an account for our relationships. When it talks about our words in the scripture, and we all have them. So Matthew 12:36 says, but I tell you, this is Jesus saying this, but I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. I thought, whoa. How many have spoken an empty word? Yeah, I thought, Lord. But, you know, you always take scripture in context. And so you can't just pull one scripture out and go, that's what everything in the Bible means. It's like, okay, you got to wrap this up with all the other scriptures and stuff. But there is something there that he's saying, we're accountable for our words. He is putting an emphasis on it. We're accountable for words. And Jesus, in the scriptures is recorded a couple of times in Matthew 12 and Luke, says, but the mouth speaks out of what? Out of what's in the heart. So we go back to the original verse in Proverbs that it's a heart issue, that it comes back to what is going on in the heart. And there's things we could set guards in our mouth. And that's why it's so important, it's so good to know the scriptures. Because if you remember a couple weeks ago when we talked about temptation, it says, his word helps me not to sin. So putting guards in my heart of ways I should be thinking, ways I should be feeling, attitudes I should have, the Bible will help us to know those. And then the Holy Spirit will help us to have those so that we're not caught into things we shouldn't be caught up into. In Ephesians chapter 4, there's a scripture, if I can get it up here, says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. You talk about a guard right there. That's a challenging guard. I don't know about you guys, but that's a challenging guard to think, okay, if the words am I speaking, are they building up? The word unwholesome basically means rotten or poor quality, unfit for use, worthless. So the things I'm speaking, are they building somebody up? Are they helping? The build up means you're furnishing, you're helping. So again, it goes back to what's going on in your heart. You know, the Bible, when it was really originally written, the chapters and verses were not in there. And so this scripture flows right into Ephesians chapter 5. And this is the very first verse in Ephesians chapter 5. It says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love. Then he goes right back in to the way we talk. It says, nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. So there's something about keeping our heart, about having a heart of thanksgiving that's going to help us keep our mouth in the right spot. And if our heart has it, if we're thankful and we have that, then it's going to keep, remember, it all goes back to the heart. It's going to keep our heart in the right perspective. And it will help us, guard us from going into those other things. So having a stewardship of words. Now, there's one thing area that this has been an area that people have been dealing with forever from humankind. And it starts with G. It's called gossip. And it's something that everybody's always dealt with forever. I mean, you go back and read historical things and stuff, and you know, this is, you're getting the gossip. You know, the thing today is that you can actually gossip with somebody all the way on the other side of the earth with technology. Just, hey, did you know this is happening? And, but, you know, gossip, basically the word gossip means an enticed talk. And if you remember what we were talking about a couple of weeks ago about temptation, temptation means it's an entice. So it's a temptation to get into this talk that really is not helpful for building others up. It's not, it's unwholesome. And when we hear gossip, or if we're the source of it, then we have to stop and say, okay, what am I doing with this? Now, if somebody comes to you with gossip, you have a couple of choices. First, a good one is, have you prayed for them? Because that's a big thing. When you have issues, I would encourage you, whenever you have an issue and something comes in your heart that you wants to challenge you toward having an ill feeling for somebody, the most powerful thing you do right then is pray for them. Jesus said that. He said, pray for your enemies. Pray for those who you feel are using you, who are persecuting you, who's treating you wrong. Pray for them. So to keep our heart right, well, the best thing you can do right then is pray for them. Pray and ask God to help them. The second thing then is if somebody's telling you this, if this is something you're dealing with, that's what you do. But if somebody's telling you, you can ask them. The second thing is, have you talked to them? Have you talked to them about this? And finally it says, I don't want to hear it. Even if it's presented to you as a prayer request. Hey, you should pray for so-and-so. Did you know that? And how many other people? I've told 48 people this, so they could be all in a prayer chain together for so-and-so. I said, no, that's not healthy. The Bible says the words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down into the inmost beings. So it's one of those things we have to watch. We have to watch our heart to not be a source of it, but also not to be a bridge for it to go on. There's a scripture in Galatians, or Paul, of course, this is in the Old and New Testament, warns about gossip. But there's a scripture in Galatians. Apostle Paul says this, you are running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. In other words, we were walking just fine, maybe toward with a relationship with somebody or toward something, and somebody tells us something. We get this information, and all of a sudden, we veer. We go over. Do you know what the word offense means? Offense means you go off the path. So we were going along, and this could happen with, this could happen in so many ways. I mean, it could be the enemy come in and throw a thought and says, well, just look at them. Who do they think? Who does Ben think he is? But we're leading this service, you know, and stuff. So, and the enemy comes in and he tries to get you veer off, you know, that path. And the Bible promises if you draw near to God and you resist the devil will flee from you. So you don't have to put up with that stuff. You know, you have a choice. You don't have to put up stuff. And or it could be that you hear something. And this could be not something to even deal with church. It could be out in the community. It could be whatever. And it veers you off. And again, we have to guard our heart toward those things. We have to guard our heart. We're bombarded with all kinds of information and stuff. We have to guard our heart from those things to make sure we don't go off. He says in that same scripture, he says, a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. So that's true in our own life. That little thought can work through, and just we just really have to watch it. And being in the Word of God, being in the Scriptures, being in connection with Jesus helps us to guard our heart, helps us to protect us from getting in those situations. The last one, when we talk about stuff, Why does God give us stuff? Well, there's scriptures, you know, he talks about in Timothy. He said one of the main reasons so we can provide. He says it's important. We are responsible for providing for not only ourselves, but for our families. That's in the scriptures. And he talks about this is one reason why we have stuff is that he's given it us to provide. Another one, it's in Corinthians, says you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Another reason is so we can bless others. So we can share it and give to others. You know, there's many scriptures relating to stewardship of our stuff. I don't know if you know who Dr. James Dobson is. He's focused on the family. Excuse me. And he said that something sort of like this. He says, do we have our stuff or does our stuff have us? So who is Lord here? And there's scriptures in Matthew. Jesus talked about storing up your treasures in heaven and not on earth. And that just trusting in God. And in 1 Timothy, Apostle Paul talked about not putting our hope in riches. And he said, for those who are rich in this present world. Now, some of you might think, I'm not rich. Well, compared to most of the earth, you are. Compared to most of the earth. I watch these shows. I like nature shows and stuff. So I'm watching these people in these third world countries. And I was sharing this guy, this dad, wants to provide for his family. So him and a bunch of other dads, this is over in Africa, have to walk. They have this fishing place they go catch fish. But to get there, they have to walk through crocodile-infested rivers. They have to go through these massive elephant herds, which are very dangerous over there. And stuff. And then he goes out on the edge of a waterfall just to catch fish for his family to eat. In India, this guy, another dad, he wanted to go provide for his family. So there's this place they can go get honey from beehives on this island. Well, it's the largest number of tigers is on that island. And many of them have been killed. So he just, all he wants to earn is $65. He gets $65 will provide for his family for the entire year for food. So we are rich compared to most of the other world. And he says not to put our hope in our riches, but put our hope in God. But he also says make sure we share those. So this economic indicator, when it relates to stuff, is do we have a giving heart? Lord, if I don't have a giving heart, I don't want to be generous. What's going on? What's inside of me? You know, and he promised several times, and it's not a matter of how much you give. It's not like if somebody gives this much, so well, this is more than that. Jesus told a parable. This in Mark chapter 12. He says, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts of money. But a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. And he called his disciples and said, come here, guys, come here. We got a lesson, object lesson. Right now I want to show you. So you see this poor widow says she put in more than everybody else because they gave out of their wealth, but she out of her poverty put in everything, all she had to live on. There was a trust in God. Now, I would love to know the rest of that story. You know, I believe God provided for that widow and took care of her. And there's many scriptures, promises of God in Malachi 3. He says, bring the whole tithe to the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me. This is one time he says, you can test me. There's times the scripture says, don't test God. You know, but this is where we can test God. He says, see, if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. That's not just going to be physical stuff. That's a heart issue. You can't buy peace. You can try to buy it, but you can't buy peace. Billions of dollars are spent on that, but you can get it and all the other things. And he says, and even that, I will even protect you. He says, I will prevent pests from devouring your crops. Your washer and dryer will run longer. Your car will run longer. He says, I will just bless the fruit of your hands. What you do is going to prosper. When you're working at Whirlpool, when you're working at the hospital, you're working at home and stuff, there's just anointing, a blessing upon you that your work is going to be prosperous. And he promises this, he says, and you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God. There's a distinction. I believe there's a Goshen anointing that we have. If you don't know what a Goshen anointing is, read the New Testament and Book of Exodus. And God blessed the people, his people. There is a blessing there. Now, all of this is not just for us. You know, all this, the blessing, the stuff, it's to help anybody. It's not just say, okay, you need help. Are you a Christian? Do you have Jesus in your heart? You know, do you read your Bible? Do you pray? Do you go to church? Are you a member of a church? Let me see your membership card. You know, that's not what the Bible says. This is what the attitude that Jesus says we are to have toward everyone. Jesus says, but I tell you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. How many in here are children of your Father in heaven? Well, this is what we're supposed to be like. If this is what you are, this is what the Bible says. You know, it's nice to know if this is what you are, well, what am I supposed to be? This is what we're supposed to be. He causes his sun to shine on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteousness. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father. We are to love everybody. We are to share with the poor. We are to share with those in need, whether they're Christians or non-Christians. Where to give it? If you read in the Old Testament, he was looking for shepherds, and he's talking about shepherds, and he said, I want shepherds who will care for the lost, care for those who don't know me, care for the poor. That's not, it's just a hard attitude. So being part of stuff is that we have a giving heart. In Matthew 25, Jesus told this parable about stewardship. And he basically said, everybody has given something, and everybody will be held accountable for what you've been given. Everybody. And those who were done well, if you read the parable, it says, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful a few things. I'm going to bless you and come and share your master's happiness. But there was one person, if you read this parable, he didn't do anything with anything God gave him. And he used this as an excuse. He said, I was afraid. Because I knew you were mean and basically a lie and a cheat. Because he said, I knew that you took stuff from people. And I knew that you didn't really work, but you just went out and took. That's basically what he was saying about his master. And of course, he lost everything. He said, you're wicked, lazy. Lazy in the fact that you were so lazy, you didn't try to find the truth. You didn't try to find out who I really was. You didn't try to get to know me. You just assumed and listened to everything else out there. You didn't try to find out who I really was, to know that I wanted to bless you. I wanted to give to you. I wanted you to come and enter to happiness. And so he was telling him, he says, but God's purpose of giving us, and you know, right after that scripture, if you take context, he goes in and talks about blessing those we don't even know. He goes, how do we help you, God? How do we do this? He goes, well, when you fed this person, when you gave to that person, when you did this and when you did that, when you helped the poor, and you came and visited me when I was sick, and you visited me in prison, and these things, he goes, that's how you helped me. He didn't qualify that saying only Christians. It was anybody. So being a part of being good stewards of our stuff is having a loving and giving heart. If you can have our musicians come back up, please. If we can go ahead and stand. So how many of you would say, Lord, I want to make a new commitment to guarding my heart? Would you be willing to commit to guarding our heart and checking, being a good steward of our relationships, being forgiving and the kindness and watching our words and watching over our stuff and being a giving heart. But some of us, we might have strayed away. We might have already strayed off of some. So I'm going to pray. And there's two things I would ask us to pray while we're praying. Is one, that you put a hand over your heart, representing our heart attitude toward giving and loving and kindness. But also you put a hand over your mouth, for as far as our words. Heavenly Father, we just, as we stand here representing your children, Lord, that our heart, God, would represent your heart, and our words would represent your heart and your words, God. That our ways would be your ways, and our thoughts would be your thoughts, God. And our kindness and our generosity and our love, Lord, that we would be your children and represent you in all thanksgiving and honor and glory. We thank you, Lord, for your commitment to us. That you said you never leave us or forsake us, God. That, Lord, even when we fail, even when we mess up, Lord, that you promise we can get back up and keep on going. That you would teach us, God, how to love. And you would teach us how to care for one another. You would teach us how to be good stewards of one another, Lord. That we can bring you glory. We thank you for this, Father, in Jesus' name.